the Public Works Facility Committee meeting to order. First we'll have roll call. We have everyone here except Supervisor Esposito, I believe. The Youth and Governance is here. All the other committee members are here. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. Did everyone receive those minutes?
Received those. I'll make a motion, Mr. Chairman.
And I'll second it.
Moved and seconded to approve the meetings of our previous meeting. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, Youth and Governance, comments. A couple things that I have. One would be the concealed carry policy resolution that we passed at our previous meeting. Judiciary and Law has a meeting this Wednesday, and they've been requested, or a request has been made by the judges for an addition and some different language to that resolution. Going back into September, the County Board Chairman and I had requested that the judges give us any feedback that they had. I looked up some emails this evening back to September 19th, telling them that we had already passed at our committee and that it was critical that they get us anything that they wanted. So they did it this morning. So we go back to the 19th. What's critical here is that we have two readings of this resolution. The first one would be tomorrow evening. If we want to have this done by November 1st, that's why the County Board Chairman and I were asking them this back in mid-September. So why they didn't get this to us, I don't know. Our Corporation Council thought that our resolution was adequate. And what we told them on September 19th was if they did come up with anything, that we would prefer not to have another resolution, but we would prefer amendments be made the evening of the county board meeting. Now, I relayed that to Ray tonight. He's going to tell them that tomorrow from those two, you know, from the committee and the judge's point of view. If we have two resolutions that evening, that's not going to work. And policy resolution, we can amend that evening. So I'm hoping that's what we could relay, Ray, to Mr. Michael tomorrow.
I have a call in.
And to that committee. That's the most logical approach to this. We've done it before. And you know, with all due respect to the judges, it was either laziness or just thinking that they could just wait. Don't know. But it wasn't done properly. And I'd like to see us proceed, and so would the chairman of the county board, see us proceed and get this done before that November 1st law comes into effect. So. Other than that, I was at four of our county parks yesterday, and if anybody got a chance to get around, and I didn't miss any football or baseball either, but what was going on Fox River Park, no, that was Saturday. There was a cross-country event that I've never seen to beat all cross-country events. The park was just full. I don't know, it was 24 teams, Jen?
Yeah.
I was told. And then the Oktoberfest at Paddock Lake, I was down there when they were setting up. The KD Park was jammed with people. And I was out at Silver Lake also. It was quite a weekend, but we all know the weather was fantastic. But boy, when you see the events and when somebody says that they don't know why we have all these parks and just see how they're utilized. That Fox River Park was amazing. You couldn't get into that place on, was that Saturday? It was Saturday.
It was Saturday. We had a wedding, too.
Yeah.
Down in Area 1, so it was pretty busy.
It was. So that's all I have. Committee members, any other supervisors? Supervisor Frederick.
One question is, with the budget now that we're going to receive tomorrow, is our next meeting is all the way into November. Are we having a special meeting before that?
We'll have a meeting in October.
Do we have any ideas?
We typically would do it one of the other Mondays in between. I know that ours goes to the Finance Committee the 25th, which is the last Tuesday of the month. So we would have either the 17th or the 10th, whichever, however the committee, whichever needs more.
Right. Now, the, if I remember when the executive committee meets, it's the third Monday.
Well, is that when the executive committee meets?
Right. So we'd want to do it, receive it tomorrow. We could do it next Monday.
Especially if that other committee meets, I didn't realize that. And then the 10th would be the night.
Second Monday of the month. Does that work? Does that work for the staff? For next Monday. Okay.
Strictly the budget.
Strictly the budget.
Yeah. We talked about possibly having the golf study that Carthage had done. Just putting the finishing touches on it. I think we have it ready for next Monday, but that might be kind of a push too, because we've seen kind of a draft final version, but we haven't seen the final version yet. So that would be one thing. We'd try to piggyback with it, but if that went to November, well, it would be nice, I think, to get it done in October.
Why don't we put a possible discussion on the on the agenda, and also possible discussion and action on the firearms?
Oh, okay. This is a safety belt?
This is a safety belt.
Okay.
Right. Anything else, Mr. Frederick?
No, I just wanted to.
Any other supervisors? Youth and governance? Anything? We'll move on to citizens' comments. Any citizen that wishes to address the committee on any matter regarding facilities or public works? If not, citizens' comments are closed. We'll move on to golf, highways and parks. Old business, golf, highways and parks. None. New business. Monthly activities for highways.
Just give you a few updates on some of the projects we've been working on. We started work on asphalt paving of the bike trails. We finished the asphalt paving on the south trail. The north trail, will start that project next week, prepping it, and then the asphalt paving will be the week after next. So we intend to get all the asphalt paving done on both of those projects, and then we'll do a few things to make sure that they're safe throughout the winter. We're going to do some signing and some grading alongside the asphalt to make sure there's no the edges are safe. There's no drop offs. But we're going to suspend those projects over the winter, and then in the spring, pick them up, and we'll do the final landscaping. We need to install concrete approaches at all of the intersections with roads, and put in the detectable warning fields, the yellow pads that are set into the concrete. So I just want to make sure that if you get any questions about the condition of those this fall, just be aware that they're not completed. And the biggest thing is really the landscaping, that we still have topsoil, seed, and mulch all along the asphalt. But I rode my bike on the South Trail yesterday, and it really turned out nice. The paving was really smooth. I think it is really going to be a popular thing to put the asphalt on there. And again, like you witnessed in the parks yesterday, I mean, there was people, you know, walking with strollers, running, rollerblading, biking. I mean, there were just people everywhere. It really seemed to be popular just for the short period of time that it's been done. So best odds. This week and next week, we're resurfacing Highway Q from Highway U to Highway 45. That's one of the two asphalt paving projects that we have remaining this year. We still have one project to pave Highway D from Highway 50 to Highway C. We do intend to get that done most likely in the first week of November. And that should wrap up our asphalt paving program for the year. We do have one project that's out to bid right now. That is the installation of traffic signals at Highway E and JR. That's a project that on its own warranted traffic signals, but with the opening of 39th Avenue in the near future, that is going to significantly increase the amount of traffic at that intersection. So the signals won't be in when 39th Avenue is actually open, but we're going to keep an eye on the intersection. If necessary, we'll install temporary four-way stops until the traffic signals can get installed, and that's kind of a standard item or in the manual of uniform traffic control devices. When signals are needed and they're not, you need a little bit of time, putting up four-way stops is perfectly acceptable thing to do. So they won't go in unless we feel necessary, but otherwise the signals should be in by first of December, maybe a little bit later than that, depending on the availability of materials, as all those traffic signal components are need to be custom made. So that's about it for this year. Other than that, we're planning for winter. Obviously, September and October are big months to prep for winter. We're putting together all of our plans and tweaking a little bit of the plans a little bit, getting our equipment ready, and had salt deliveries the last couple of weeks. So have another planning meeting tomorrow with the staff. But everything is on track right now.
Thank you, Gary. Any questions for Gary?
Just a comment has to do with the bike trail. A couple comments, actually, but the first one is about the bike trail. The north bike trail, where it intersects County 8, had a citizen just stop me and ask me, there seems to be some issues, or at least in this person's perception, with foliage and not being able to see passing traffic on County 8. So as long as you're up there in that area doing the prep work, can you please maybe take a look at that and evaluate and see if there's something to be done there?
Absolutely. Yeah.
At least see if it indeed is an issue, and if so, make it safe for the people utilizing it. Second thing, Washington Road 142, County S, whatever you want to call it, west of Green Bay Road. The first rail crossing that's has come to, it appears as though the crossing on the westbound lane only, not the eastbound, has some amount of flaw or defect right by the rail bed. Some of you probably are aware of that. Or,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the crossing itself, and that's the responsibility of the railroad to repair. We can't go in there and do it if we wanted, and they are aware of it, just a little slow in getting it repaired.
Well, we're well aware of this committee, as if you've been in before, so Rise Overman can speak more to it than I can, but they're terribly slow. You can wait 6 months, a year, year and a half before they'll fix it. How long has that been in the hopper for them to address?
It's actually a defect. I mean, the crossing itself and generally isn't too bad, but there's some sort of delamination or something occurring in the materials that they use for the crossing. So it's just a repair that needs to be done.
So they've been aware of it for how long, approximately?
I I would say a month or so.
Okay.
We can keep reminding them. And
it's not going to get better with the weather.
No.
Let me finish up on this and can I just disagree with this?
I thought you were going to ask.
Also, another constituent asked me in terms of 142 west of Green Bay Road going towards the interstate, is that slated at some point to be widened, or is that going to be two lanes for the foreseeable future? Do you have any?
Our year 2035 plan, which is our long range plan, it indicates that should be improved to four lanes, yes.
By 2035. Nothing more immediate or in the planning stage than that?
Nothing at this point, no. And actually, the traffic volumes wouldn't warrant four lanes at this time, but as things grow, we're projecting in the future that it could be constructed to four lanes, and that, but nothing in our 5 or 6 year program.
The work's been done since the new development's gone in the Sam's Club and so forth, or
the 2035 plan was just updated last year. So
it is recent. Those are my questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks for what you did.
Through the chair, is you're putting the signals in the last week of classes at Parkside? Is that any concern at all, or?
I personally wasn't even aware of that. I do work with the vice chancellor pretty close on these projects, so if there's any concern of the university, I'm sure he'll make sure that you know that I'm aware of that. But I wasn't aware of that.
It's the last week or right before finals, and I'm just thinking it's the start of winter, the last week of finals going. And then you're putting up traffic signals. Is maybe can it be done even a couple weeks later, or is that going to throw everything off?
Well, once we establish a contract with whoever's going to be the low bidder, and then you know they have like 60 days to complete the project. So it could be a little before then, a little after that date. You know, there's some flexibility in that. So. I'll make sure the universities. We work pretty close with them, so I'll make sure that they know what we're doing, and if they need, we need to adjust our construction schedule somewhat. We can, but typically, not moved up, probably moved back. Okay. And it's, you know, even though it's started, you know, you're in the winter season, the traffic signals can still be put in. It's not that big of an impact on the installation.
I was just thinking of a college kid going, when these get put in here?
There's a little bit of learning or adjusting, I should say, when traffic signals are put in.
Anything else, Mr. Fair?
No.
Mr. Beth?
Through the chair to Mr. Sipsma, I know we had talked about Act 10. That's the new collective bargaining law, right? Or is it Act 11? I don't remember which one. Mm-hmm. But how has the conversion over to the new employees gone? Have they adjusted well to it, or how is that going?
Yeah, the new policy was approved by the county board. I did meet with all the employees and explained how the new policy was going to affect them. We had a long question and answer period. There's a couple of issues outstanding that we still need to work on regarding the call-in of the employees for plowing. And the only reason we didn't discuss it yet is we've not determined the exact method. It still needs a little tweaking. And in fact, the meeting that we're having tomorrow, we'll finalize that. I'll meet with them again. And that really... was the last outstanding issue that they had. So within the next couple of weeks, I think all their questions will be answered.
Thank you.
Gary has recently moved and was on vacation since that meeting. Supervisor Gans?
I'm through the chair. Gary, I was just wondering if you have any idea when Highway N is going to be open, the other side of the interstate.
Good question. As a matter of fact, I had brought, I was going to mention that too, some of the projects, they just have a fall 2011 on their schedule here.
Okay.
They don't, there is some work that's going to be done up on the freeway yet this fall too, besides the highway and the frontage road work that they're doing. They're preparing for the project next year, which will involve the complete reconstruction of the southbound lanes from a little bit north of 158 south to where the existing four lanes is. So that'll include the entire 158 interchange, Highway K, and the Highway 50 interchange. All those, that entire area southbound will be rebuilt next year, and then that same area northbound will be in 2013. So Highway N should be open by then, but heaven only knows what else they'll have in mind there.
Thank you.
Anything else for Mr. Simpson? Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
We will move on to monthly activities for parks. Mr. Root, everyone should have his report in front of you.
I didn't receive anything from the Pringle Nature Center again this month, so I'll have to jog them. I'm sure they have it. It's just they haven't forwarded it to me. Petrifying Springs, they have a few things going on. All the new playground equipment that we had ordered for Area 5 is in and installed. You get a chance, you're going through that way, take a peek at that. We submitted a letter of intent to the Fund for Lake Michigan requesting consideration for a grant to remove the dam, build a bridge, and restore the adjacent stream bed. We're going to start reviewing those letters of intent today. And by the end of October, they'll tell us if we've been selected to submit a grant, and if we can, we will, and we'll do the resolution required and everything. But we asked for the full amount, $520,000, and we'll see where that goes. Or we haven't asked yet, but we will then. Also, we are working with the design firm for the road and parking lot replacement at Petrifying Springs in 2012, and I asked to set up a meeting with them for later this week, but I haven't heard back from them yet, and I think I asked them last week, Wednesday or Thursday. Oktoberfest out in Old Settlers Park went really well. We had a lot of people. I think the biggest draw was the wiener dog race we had. That was huge. If you want to see it, go to westoftheeye.com. They videotaped it. But the music was good. The food was good. They had awesome fireworks. I'm going to have to review the car counter numbers and probably get a little bit better idea on exactly how many folks we had there. But we figure somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 throughout the day.
Wow.
With the turnover. We filled that park. The event started at 2 o'clock, and we filled all the parking on the south side of the road and the north side of the road by 2:30. So we're just going to start parking them out on that East Beach area on the other side of the dog park, and it started turning over, so we never had to go that far. One thing I did want to mention is that Supervisor Underhill is on that committee for Oktoberfest too and spent a ton of time on that. I mean, it was really a successful event. Everybody had fun. We didn't have any problems at all. I guess, and we're hoping to do it again next year, but earlier in the month. We're talking about possibly September 17th for next year. We did the Fall Wheel Ride as well on Saturday morning at Pets. We had about 60 folks that came out to that, and they had the Kenosha Police Department out there giving safety tips, bicycle safety checks, handing out helmets to the kids. And that was pretty good. We didn't have as big a turnout as we had last year. I don't know if it was the weather in the morning. It was pretty cold and windy. And anyways, we'll move on to Kemper. I sent the contract out to the consultant and just waiting for him to return that to me, and then the roof repairs will be going out to bid. We've been going back and forth a little bit with the insurance company. Gave us a name for a person that specializes in the copper roofs out of Janesville, and I don't know exactly what was going on between the insurance company and him, but I finally found out that their guy's coming over here on, I think it's Wednesday at 10 o'clock to meet me at Kemper to look at that job. So I said, I don't know what discussions went on between the adjuster and that gentleman, but so that's moving along. The last thing that I have to report on is the KD Park. That Eagle Scout project is started on the trail signing project, and contacted, I think it was Greg Kunkel from the highway department, who's a woodworker, to see if he could give him a hand with that. The astronomers asked if they could use the pad we built for stargazing out at KD on October 22nd. They said they wanted that we could do another event like we did, but I just didn't feel we had enough time to advertise it and get everything out there. We'll open up the park for them. If anybody stops by, they're more than welcome to go up there and look for the telescopes and talk with them. I know Chairman Elderman, you probably saw we have dam signs out there now.
I saw.
Yeah, that's the DNR demanded we have those because of the dam there. So it's part of the permit, so we put them in. That's in case a motorboat goes over. They know it's there. So,
yeah.
And the design firm for KD, for the KD Park Master Plan, should have a report ready for the November Public Works and Facilities meeting.
That's what we're hoping for, yeah.
And that's about all right. I attached a few photos of Oktoberfest.
John, is that a weekend, October 22nd, that we're open out there at the KD Park?
Oh, that's a good question.
When the astronomers are...
I'd have to look on the calendar. It's the first and third weekends.
Right.
So,
they would open last weekend, right?
Yeah.
So they'd be open like the 15th or 16th or
yeah, no.
We still have that sign that we had. We could stick
I
out.
I should have it. Yep. I'll stand it back out there and just change the dates.
Yeah. And that, is that a Saturday, the 22nd?
Yeah.
What time of day are they coming out there?
Well, it might be pretty early. They'll probably should start showing up around 6:30. Because it's pretty dark by 7 o'clock now. It's doing
on the John's report, I don't know if people pay attention to that. I still get the paper version of the newspaper, that get-out section. I think last week had the trails in Kenosha County, and they did ours. They did Silver Lake Park, but they never mentioned Katy Park. And that's the most extensive trails we have in Kenosha County. It's probably because we're not open. So if anybody has the county executive's ear, you might want to mention that the most extensive trail system we have in Kenosha County wasn't mentioned by our own county newspaper because we're not open. Hopefully next year we can get it to that point where we're, at least we don't have to guess which weekend people can go out there. Thank you, John. Any questions for Mr. Rudy?
Just going to follow up on your trail comment, Mr. Chairman, if I may. Mr. Arbut and I had a conversation with the county exec recently, and one of the things that had come up was a possibility at KD of having one, possibly two, candlelight cross-country ski events. That's been a staple. Pat's, have we done that in the past? We've had cross-country...
Not candlelight. We used, years ago, back in the 80s, mm-hmm. We had the lights that ran down 10 Fairway at Pat's
right.
And kind of through the woods and around... So we used to do it there at night. That's the only place we've ever done that. I know Barn does a candlelight one.
Yeah. So you're saying that Pat's was actually the infrastructure was there for electricity.
Yep.
Where you light it up that way. Okay. And then how do they do it at Barn? Actually, do you use?
I think
candlelight?
They do the luminaires, the candles in the paper bags.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because if we're talking about looking at next year and scheduling. If we can take a look at the possibility of putting these things down at least tentatively, January, February, when the good snow times are, maybe we should think about what we want to do for both pets and the possibility then of KD for possible cross-country ski activities. So I don't know if we want to look at potential schedule, possible way of doing that. Second thing, when you're looking at this road and parking lot replacement for pets, is that the entire parking lot and road system at pets?
Yes, including the hill road up to the golf course, the hill road coming down,
right.
And then the entire road through pets and all the parking lots except for the JR one.
Okay.
We didn't include that one. That one's not in too bad a shape. Depending on how it works out, it might be a two-year project. It might be the main road, and then the following year, the hill road and the parking lots. We're not real sure yet. It's all...
That was my question. I would say that would be quite a bit to bite off in one construction season. Those are my comments, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else for Mr. Rudy from anyone? Yes, Mr. Otterholm.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank John for the good work his crew did. I didn't see one garbage can overflowing the whole day. And I wanted to thank Kim Manna for showing up and helping out with the wiener dog race and the county exec with helping out and Jenny Tunkies. They all did a super job. His crew did a super job. And John needs a round of applause.
Well, I didn't see anybody out there when Nick and I were freezing our asses off about 8:30 in the morning moving around stuff out there.
I was there about half hour later.
Yeah.
But a motor.
I was there till 10 something. We putting up tarps because the wind was coming through there.
Yeah.
Thank God it warmed up.
The fireworks and played right down.
You know, everybody said it was fantastic that was there later. The only thing I think everyone's going to have to think of is parking.
Yep.
Because if this event grows, there's nowhere to grow it.
Well, they had a shuttle. They had a shuttle ready to go that was supposed to shuttle from over by the village hall if we filled up.
Yeah.
But they didn't have, the shuttle was scheduled for 6 in the afternoon.
Four.
And we ran out of parking at 2:30.
Yeah.
But
the turnover came right at the point
when the dog race was over. Everybody started filtering out.
Yeah.
And then we had parking down below.
Yep.
By the beach. And then probably if we needed to shuttle, we could always shuttle over to the high school.
The most logical would be the high school. That's where the dairy
breakfast was. They had a homecoming game that night.
Yeah. So
that's why we didn't do that.
Right.
Yep.
But I mean, it's going to have to be a thought for next year because.
Yep.
Believe me, a lot of people heard about this, and it was successful, and it's going to get bigger. You know, hey, we don't have Country Thunder type parking there, so
no.
You know, you want to do like the Dairy Breakfast always does it with the high school, and you know,
great.
Yep.
Well, we had 4 people come with boats, so there's plenty of room for that. So,
anything else for Mr. Rudy? Thank you, John.
Yep.
We'll move on to golf.
Yeah. Good evening. September, we had a little bit of wet and cool weather for the Labor Day weekend and then also these last 9 days or so. And so, unfortunately, we did not do as well this September as we did last year. In your packet, it is stated in the verbiage that this area is about down about 18% of golf. Playable hours, I got 19 in the verbiage, but it should say 18% there in the report. Other than that, you know, we're working really diligently to control our expenses, and that's going well. But right now, the Highway 75 project in front of Brightondale is complete, and the road is open. We are running a $29 weekday special for 18 holes with a cart at both golf courses, plus that's also available after 11 a.m. on the weekends. So we're trying to fill the golf courses with that. With this last week, you know, there weren't a lot of golfers, but hopefully with the weather forecasted now, we'll have a good October. The new Chrono system is up and running, and it is extremely helpful in reporting label usage, so we will be keeping track of that. The Golf Course Communication Committee will be meeting again Wednesday, October 12th at 1 p.m. at Brightondale. We'll be discussing ways to bring the good news of the golf course and the events more publicity, and also how to improve the golf course. If you read the paper the last weekend, we had a nice people's forum on Saturday, and then there was an article in the paper on Sunday about how the golf courses were doing, and so that's good publicity there. The upcoming events, or the upcoming projects, I'm sorry, that we have at Brightondale, starting October 10th, we're installing a new exhaust hood in the grill area. We are going to be installing the new wells, one down at the pavilion and one at the clubhouse, instead of putting in new water lines. And we're also finishing the roof on the clubhouse. So all those are starting October 10th again. And the Carthage College report is just about finished, so hopefully we'll have that next Monday to present to you guys. It really did point out some specific differences between the golf courses. We're also in there. There's some proposed business plans for 2012. So hopefully that's a look from the outside looking in, and we can use that to help our business plan for 2012. And I think that you guys, once you get it, will be enlightened by that study. And then Lori Stanek, our assistant superintendent at Petrifying Springs, she did accept the $38,000 Toro Greensmaster mower on September 15th, which was great to see that. And a couple of events that we had this last month. We had the County Executive Cup the same day, September 15th. We had 18 groups and 66 players. We raised over $2,600 for our junior golf program at the Kenosha County Executive Cup outing. We also had 30 participants in the Packer Bear outing on September 25th, and it was won by a Packer fan, just like the real game, so that was awesome. And we have a couple events coming up in October. We have the Halloween Horror October 22nd, and then the Turkey Scramble November 5th. So those will be the upcoming events.
Nothing for Spare?
I have a comment. I brought a group of golfers out to Petrifying Springs to play this past Wednesday, and it was a group of 10 golfers. And at the end of the course, we're done. We sat in the clubhouse, each had a beverage, and I don't think there was one negative comment. Every single comment that I heard from these golfers who had not played the course regularly was surprise and pleasure. The condition of that course, and especially the putting surfaces, how fast they were. I said, if you think they're fast now, you should have seen them last week before we had an inch and a half of rain. Right. So I think those players were favorably impressed, and hopefully it will be one of these things where they tend to come back.
Good deal. Thank you.
Roger Kohler.
Yeah, I've also heard a lot of good compliments about the condition of the course and a lot of great stuff. However, one, I know last year with the budget was a big discussion around golf because of the deficit. I know we talked about on a board level about a study being done about the capacity of holes that we have versus demand. Is that in the works?
Yep, that's part of that Carthage College study, and that will be hopefully presented to you next Monday night.
Okay, yep. I was just curious.
It won't. Monday night would be a budget night. We won't be doing golf that night.
Okay.
That was one of the things we had as a possibility, but
yes. But I mean, let's not say it's a definite.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. There's actually two studies, isn't there, Rick?
There's one from Carthage, but then there's the second is the Katy Park. Those are the two big things that we've got.
But the study on the possibility of reducing the amount of holes is in the Carthage College one.
We had them look at it. Jim actually did an internal study as well, so they kind of. There, you'll have all that information because Jim Cuthbert put together an internal analysis, and then they kind of looked at it as an outside. So there's going to be two pieces of information.
I've been told it was the Cuthbert one that was a separate one.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, they've kind of pooled information though. You'll see because there's he obviously had more access to information internally, and they focused more on external kinds of things when they looked at that. So it's It's pretty interesting. We'll have both pieces of information as it relates to that issue.
So we could have that on, but I'll tell you what, that's a pretty comprehensive meeting if that's what we're going to be going through. So I would think if we're doing facilities, which we've never done, along with highways, parks, and golf, that we probably would want to give that special attention. Yeah.
The other option I think maybe would be to have maybe a meeting before a county board meeting to go over the golf thing. So at least it's not a separate night.
But what's the rush?
I think, some information that might help during the budget process. There's information in there that there's business plan kind of information, and then there's other information related to like the economic impact of the golf courses and things like that. So it might help in the overall budget discussion as it goes through our committee as well as the finance committee, just the board in general. So there's, otherwise, we could do it in November. I mean, it's not, we could even get the report out before so people would have a chance to look at it, but I there's a lot of information there. It's, how long do they think the report's going to be?
106 pages, give or take.
And that's the Carthage and yours.
Yeah.
Right.
You will not see 106 pages. We can boil it down to, you know, 8 or 10.
Oh, here's the complexity of the issue, and a lot of people might want to run through this on budget night, but we're talking about a business plan here and a business, and we don't want to just give this 20 minutes on budget night. And that wouldn't give anybody any justice at all. I understand wanting to push this and try to help everybody's minds be happy about the golf courses, but we've been hearing about this for a couple months, and if we want to be happy, we should have had it last month. So whether it's Carthage or who it was, but I mean, we've been promised this for quite some time. So I'm not going to push this down this committee's throat the night we're doing the budget. And you know, we can have it on the agenda that evening. But I think we're talking a couple-hour discussion.
Yeah. To do it justice.
To do it justice.
Yeah, you're right.
I would like to have it ahead of the meeting, whenever the meeting is, if we can. So
ahead
we get
of
a chance to analyze it a little bit, to have some questions possibly.
Ahead of our budget meeting?
No, not the budget meeting. Whenever you set a meeting for it, I just would like to have the report.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Not the night of the report.
Correct. Yes.
Chairman, just last year at the budget meetings, Chairman Clark asked for a business plan from golf for this next year, so I wonder if that's going to be a topic they're going to try to bring up during the budget meetings in late this month.
Well, you know, they did a good job last year at budget time of coming in with a month-to-month, Dan did, what the golf course was going to try to accomplish, and we all had that in print, and I mean they followed that plan, so I think they did do that.
Okay.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, then we'll just plan on not even having it as a possibility, and if we do get the thing finalized this week, if we get a final version from them, does it make sense to send it out to the committee just so they can start to
it really does. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Because we set this at the beginning here next Monday for us to going over our budget, correct?
Yes, next Monday, yep. We set the 10th. Yep.
So, I mean, if we get it, it sure would be nice. We're all good readers. You know, that could help us going over the budget.
Okay.
Anything else for Mr. Dreyer? Thank you, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Facilities. Got a list of updates. And the budget. Okay. Yep. 6:30. And then everybody remember that we're going next door for a little tour.
Right. late night tour of the courthouse.
Or level of the courthouse.
We're leaving you there.
Yeah.
It's part of Halloween fun.
We could put the mask over you.
We're going to walk out of scaffold.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, just an update on the courthouse restoration. Put in some percentages complete to help us with this. The courthouse, the parapet wall, the wall on the roof is 100% complete. The facade wall restoration, the actual walls themselves, were a little over 70% now, but let me put this together. And the stair restoration, we're working on the east. They poured the concrete for the east stairs. The south stairs, we just started pulling up the pavers. In fact, the chairman and I were in front of that today and noticed a little bit of chipping. But and the north stairs for the courthouse, they've got that demoed out, and they're going to be waterproofing that underneath because of some leakage down to the tunnel that leads between the Molinero and the courthouse. And the roofing is going to become going starting in earnest here October 10th. They're doing some prep work now and things, but for the Molinero building, the parapet wall again is 100% complete there. Facade restoration, we're a little ahead of the courthouse there, we're 85% complete. And the first layer of the roofing has actually been applied. And in general, we lost, last week we were lucky enough to where they were starting early enough, and we only lost one day really to inclement weather, even though it was pretty rainy. And we just gained one additional worker. And I've also got the layouts of the building there. I actually brought along, there's a question about the roofing material last session, so I actually brought the specs with us. It's modified, they actually pronounce it bitumen roof membrane system. It's a modified asphalt system and 20-year warranty. In fact, I've got some specifications that we're handing out for anybody who wants to look over them. And then, again, that's a system to where we can have the contractor come back and put another layer on, prep it, put another layer on, and get another 15 years out of it. So,
any questions? We're good. We'll go on the parking structure.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, is Frank sitting in the chair?
Sure.
The only one, rather than have him come back.
Yeah, right.
If he could do a Corporation Council remodel, that'd be his last one.
Actually, we'll when we stop down in the basement of the courthouse, we'll take a look at it. ESI out of Milwaukee was won the bid, and this is the first time with the county, but they've got from what we've been able to find, a good reputation in the Milwaukee area, and they have an office out of Milwaukee, and they have an office in Appleton also. They got all the bid work, the bond and everything straightened out, and they actually brought in some materials late on Friday, and today they actually brought in some more materials and started to rip up the carpet and one wall. Provided a very nice schedule, so we're cautiously optimistic, and we'll tour it today. We'll have a quick look at that. And we're still shooting to have everybody moved in before Thanksgiving and have these guys. It'll be a little tighter for them because it took a little while with the bond and our requirements. But I think they'll still be finished by November 1st. Any questions?
Anybody? All right. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Parking structure update is... Oh, we met with the state, and actually DAR is their consulting agency that they contract with to manage these kinds of projects. Met with them on the 20th of September, and also with Mead and Hunt. They're the firm, the engineering firm that we selected through the QBS process to do the design work for the last three pieces of that, the putting the gates in, dealing with the lighting, and the security issues. I met with them and had a scoping meeting on September 20th. So all the scope was basically defined, and pieces of the contract were kind of laid out. Because of all the back and forth, as I think I've explained to the committee before, you know, normally I would think we could put a contract together for a small project like this in probably 3 days, but given the back and forth requirements of the process, they tell me December 1st is probably more realistic. Regarding the $35,000 spent on the project back in 2005 that the state disallowed earlier this year when they did an audit, finance has indicated that they'll be, before year end, that they're going to identify the specific capital fund where we've got excess funds from another capital project that will transfer to cover that $35,000. They haven't identified it yet, but before the end of the year, they will do so, and then they report that to the finance committee, kind of rejigger things before the end of the year. That's pretty much it on the parking structure.
Any question?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Harvard. You know, I had a conversation with Ron Iwin, the director of transit, last night, and he had mentioned something to me, and this is just off the cuff now, about the whole parking structure. He said, what's going on down there? And I said, well, we're seeing we have an issue with the state trying to get this whole thing tied in with parking structure, lighting, and the gates and things like that. Well, is it my understanding that people were supposed to be charged to park there? You know, because he's telling me that he lost 100 stalls, or they moved over, so the county's losing, if it's $50 a month, they're losing $5,000 a month. That's the figure he threw out at me.
So that people, that used to rent from the
correct
city came over here?
Because it's free.
Yeah, I believe the concept was, and I wasn't here, but I believe, well, I don't know who would have been building and grounds, probably Supervisor Noble, actually, at the time, but I believe the concept was that the gates were supposed to be in as part of the project, you know, back in 2006 when it opened up, so that there could be those controls in place.
Permit, correct. That's
permit.
The big issue. I mean, is this what we're looking at towards the future? I mean, because that's a substantial revenue.
Yeah, once the gates go up and there's controls, because I've already started to field questions from the public that are asking this too. Yeah, there will be, you know, there's going to be yet to be determined classes of folks that use it, but there's going to be, obviously there's going to be Metro riders. And the Metro riders were supposed to be charged, I don't know, I think it was $50 a month or
correct.
$40 a month.
And they were supposed to be priority at this time.
And what happened there was because some of the folks were doing that, I guess, early on, but then when there wasn't any controls to anything, well, then everybody stopped buying the stuff. So the only folks that currently rent in there are anybody, whether it's employees, members of the public, Metro riders, whatever, that want to guarantee they have a spot. And they can secure a spot by going through the treasurer's office. And I think it's $50 a month, I think is what they pay. 30
that's,
or 50.
That's my understanding.
But it's only those folks, and that just guarantees them a spot. Once we get the gates in place, yeah, what we're going to charge folks, we then will have the controls so we can consistently charge folks and control the situation across the board. That's the importance of getting those doggone things.
And if you don't have a permit, you don't get in because the gate doesn't go off.
Right. Well, there'll be the types that we'll either have, you know, for employees or Metro riders that purchase the thing, they'll have a card like this, and they'll just chip it. And then the only other thing we'll probably entertain is mag strip cards. So whether it's somebody from the public that's just going in there for the day, they can swipe their credit card and get charged whatever it is. Jurors is another thing that's been brought up by the clerk of courts, you know, how we're going to work that. But we'll have the option to give them mag strip cards, the disposable ones, kind of single-use ones.
Yeah.
So there'll be ways around it. The key will be that we don't want to have any cash in that, because from a maintenance standpoint, but all those details will be part of what we engineer out on how we're
going. I mean, it just seems funny to me. We've lost a lot of money since 2006 of this thing.
It shouldn't have opened, in my opinion.
This is 5 years. And,
right.
You know, let's just say $5,000 a month times 12 is $60,000 times the last 6 years.
I don't believe anyone for us is here tonight. Yeah, there's many other issues in that building that if people knew about, notwithstanding the security system, the lighting, these are why we want to tie those loose ends up now, because there's things in the building or aren't in the building that are implied in the building that are really not good. It shouldn't have been opened without those things having been in place.
If you walk on any of the floors, you see a red button that says emergency, you press it, absolutely nothing will happen because it goes nowhere. Okay, so like I said,
we're going to tie all these loose ends up.
Right, that's what we want to do, is tie up all those loose ends. And the frustrating part was, because of the time lag, we had to kind of start with square one and go through this formal process and all. And the state really isn't being, they've been good to work with, but it's just the process is so back and forth. We do this, then you hand it back to them, then they do that, and then they give it back. And, but they've been good to work with, but it's just a time-consuming thing. But we'll get it done. But in my opinion, yeah, all that stuff should have been tied up before we let the first car park in.
Well, and I know it got thrown in your lap. I understand that. But my point is, you're throwing revenue away that, you know, whether, I mean, conservatively, let's not even say $5,000 a month. Let's say $2,500 a month.
Right.
You know, it's still revenue.
Right, for maintenance and whatever else.
Yeah. Thank you.
Supervisor Guest.
Through the chair, who's going to be putting this policy together, and when is it going to be drafted?
Once we get the mechanics of how we can accommodate, kind of manage the situation, then we'll have to put together a proposed policy for rates and who gets charged what and all that, and it's all going to have to get hashed out. I'm sure, you know, we'll develop it first at the administrative level, but then that's going to have to come back to the board for final approval on all that stuff. Because it's setting rates, so I would think that it's got to come back here for all that stuff.
When do you foresee that these gates are actually going to be in?
Well, the calendar that I literally went through with the person from the state, I go, walk me through this. Well, the date that it ends up is like August 1st of next year that the gates are installed.
Goodness.
Now, that being said, I think that we're already nibbling away at that so it ends up sooner. So realistically, it probably will be... It's probably sometime in June. But as far as bringing a policy, starting to hash out who's going to get charged what and how we're going to do that part of it, that's probably going to be in spring. I would say March and April, we're going to need to get that piece of things worked out. So then by the time the construction is actually done, we already have the policy ready to go and everybody knows what the deal is. Because there probably will be, you know, because they've had it for free now all this time, there's going to be... I'm sure some folks that are like, you know, the wailing and gnashing of teeth from the Metro folks as well as, you know, other folks. But
anything else on the parking, sir? Now we'll move on to the Brookside demo.
We had a small setback for the demolition of Brookside. Ran into another 3,800 linear feet of asbestos that we didn't know about. We had to do a change order to the contract, and it pushed us back about 2 weeks. So we're looking at the completion now being the middle of November. Depending on the asphalt plants, if they're still open or not, we might have to push back the restoration of the parking lot to next year.
But otherwise, we're still scheduling a demolition.
Yes.
On the Brookside demo, an interesting article in the paper that was talking about it, been in Kenosha News maybe 2 weeks ago, and they mentioned, and they even was a quote about the nice thing about doing the crushing of the bricks on the site there. I know we talked about doing and we got permits to do it. Now, but the only thing I didn't know, and I don't know if anybody else knew or who in the administration who figured, was that actually cost more, the article said, $8,000 more.
Yeah, we had a base bid set up for the demo, and then we had two add alternates, and one of them was defined for the crushing of the bricks, and the second one was for the parking lot restoration. And if we had enough money in the project, then we were going to do those other two things. And the crushing of the bricks was just under $8,000. I want to say $7,800. And the restoration of the parking lot and putting in some sidewalks to connect to the main Brookside was like $40,000 around there, like right around $40,000. And at this point, there is enough money yet to do those two pieces of the... But yeah, the crushing of the bricks was an add-on. And that's why if we didn't have enough to do the base project, then we weren't going to do it. But
what was the thought behind doing the crushing if it costs more?
I think the thought was that I know that the exec had been approached by Unified to use, they would like, when they saw, when they knew the building was going to be demolished, they wanted us to look at doing that crushing for them. And so we set it up in the ad alternate that we would do the crushing if we had enough money to do it, and they would do all the trucking and handling of it. So that's kind of on their dime, and we were going to do the crushing. This is another way to recycle. If we wouldn't have put the crushing in, we would have had the bricks recycled, the guys out there scraping them by hand, palleting them, and taking them as part of the project. Would have been one, they would have been recycled one way or the other type of thing.
Right. But the county's paying $8,000 more. I don't think anybody here knew that. We just thought that the crushing was part of the project.
Yeah, it was always, I know that I always described it as an ad alternate in the original bid documents. That's how we set it up. And if we, because we knew it would cost something extra, that's why we set it up as an alternate. And if we couldn't, you know, if it was going to come in like 30 grand or 40 grand, we wouldn't have been able to do it. But 8 grand, there was enough money in the project to do that.
I don't think anyone here knew that we were spending extra money to crush for the Unified School District. Did anyone understand that?
No.
That article was a
total... Unless you had to pay for it out there.
That article was a total... Kenosha Unified. That article was a total shock to me. So... I guess my question is, who came up with this idea, which isn't very intelligent?
The original idea was proposed by the county exec, and that's, we set it up in there as an ad alternate, like I say, in the event that it couldn't be funded, it wouldn't be funded.
The contractor's willing to take that material off-site. He's got the demo contract already, correct? He already has a contract for the demolition.
Right, that's the base contract.
The base contract, and that includes taking it off-site. His whole job would be
recycling the bricks.
Completed.
It's going to be ground on site.
Right, it would be ground on site now, but I think.
Just go ahead, Chairman.
No. He has a contract to demolish that building, clean it up, and do the whole job, correct?
Right, that would be the base contract.
Right.
Yes.
So we gave him, or we added in, another $8,000 cost to us. To grind up the bricks for Kenosha schools,
right? That was it. That's the ad alternate. That's why it was an alternate. It wasn't part of the base bid.
Doesn't make any sense.
Your point is the base bid included recycling the bricks the other way,
anyway,
as a whole.
Well, whatever he wants to do it.
Yeah,
he's got the job.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole county's paying for Unified's.
Well,
for $8,000.
It was just shocking because I had no idea that it was going to be extra to do that. I just thought it was convenient to do it.
Yeah.
I guess we were never told what this was being done for. The county board certainly, maybe, I don't know who knew.
Yeah, the only thing I know that I did specify was that we set up the three components to the, there was a base bid,
right.
There was the grinding of the bricks as an ad alternate, and the paving.
We thought that was going to save us money or something, but nobody thought.
Yeah, no, that's why we set it up. So I thought that would.
So we gave them the contract. They would be happy either way, or is it too late now to change that?
I believe that when we did the original award, we awarded the two alternates because we had, you know, we knew at that time we were still well under the project budget and had enough money in contingency to do it. So I believe the way we've got it structured right now, we have it signed, we added the two ad alternates in there. Now we could, you know, I'm sure that could be modified, but I'm pretty sure that's when we had our bid, do you remember, Ron?
Yes.
Sure. I think we had both ad alternates in there because we still had like a 50 or 60 grand cushion above that. So
Can it be modified? I don't think anybody, the county board, myself just sitting as a county board supervisor, besides being part of this committee, I would have no desire to add $8,000 just for recycling, because good chances are that's just getting, excuse me, Dave's going, that stuff's getting recycled anyway. I know it's getting recycled. Everybody runs crushers. That doesn't make any sense.
I was under the impression, based on how we did the Kemper one, though, if we were to crush these, they probably would have taken the bricks. Now, those are Cream City bricks over there, so those have a higher dollar value. But these red bricks, I'm still under the impression they would have hand-scraped them and palletized them to take them off-site as far as recycling goes. I think that's what they would have done. That's what they did at the Kemper. All those bricks got hand-scraped and they palletized.
Those are a lot more valuable at the Kemper.
Right, the Cream City ones.
That 1950s brick over here. They're not going to do that. That's going in a dump truck. Gone.
What was an alternate in some, to give you an idea what, because I remember the one, I believe the second closest bid, they had alternate to crush those, boy, it was like $40,000 or something like that.
Sure.
It was a substantial sum of money. So if, in fact, that would have been the way they would have recycled them on the front end, I don't know. I don't know what they had planned in the base bid, but.
Well, yeah, the county board has approved these contracts, but I think it's at least something that has to be discussed. I'll probably do it tomorrow evening. That we had no idea that the first knowledge I had of it was in the Kenosha News that we were actually spending $8,000 we didn't have to spend. So, I don't know if anybody else read that article, but it was a little shocking to me. So I guess that answers my question. Anything else on the demo project? George, agree.
Just a question on the parking lot. There was some talk, you know, when they were talking about, the parking lot to the west of Brookside, where the truck traffic goes in and out. There was some talk about that being, you know, preserved and refurbished. What is the current thought? That's been completely torn out and redone, or what's the plan?
Just what you said the first time. It's like just cut out. We identified the damaged areas, mm-hmm. that those would be cut out, replaced, and then the sidewalk, the existing sidewalk would be torn out and replaced, and then I believe a second sidewalk would be constructed so that we could connect that parking lot to the main structure. Basically just do patching, cutting out, patching, seal coating, and striping of that, so that we could get another 7 to 10 years of life out of that existing parking lot.
So it's refurbishment.
Refurbishment,
as
not a total gut.
That's my question. Thank you.
Anything else? I just thought of another question. Do we have any idea in those specs what quantity is getting ground? We have to.
Yeah, we put in the request from Unified was they would be able to use 1,000 cubic yards, if I remember right. It's 1,000 cubic yards because they were going to use it for baseball fields at Bradford and Tremper was a desire. So it's 1,000 cubic yards. Now, whether there's enough bricks to create that much?
Somebody has to have a figure on that or a spec on that, too. The people that fit it had to have measured.
They may have. We didn't.
We don't have numbers. We just took their number.
We did it from the other side of it because it's going to get pulverized to can be no bigger than a 3/4 inch diameter chunk.
Yeah, what are they using it for?
For warning tracks on the baseball fields at Bradford and at Tremper.
It's just plain stupid. Just plain stupid. I mean, I hate to be that blunt, but they use decomposed granite for warning tracks at major league ballparks and around it. We're spending $8,000.
I think that was the thought, though, is that why they approached the executive and originally is because the Major League Baseball uses the crushed red bricks. That's why they approached him and said, hey, I don't believe the county exec came up with the idea. I believe that Unified approached him and asked him, hey, if you guys are going to get rid of those bricks, I believe that was how the conversation. I wasn't in on that conversation, but I believe that's how it went. So.
Well, I've run crushers, numerous crushers. I crushed chunks of concrete about a third of the size of this room. and I come up with 1,000 cubic yards. I mean, that might be what they requested.
Right.
But, and I know Brookside's might look big. You're not going to come up with anywhere near that amount of stuff. But I don't know why this has gotten to me this evening, but it got to me when I read that article, and it just doesn't make any sense at all. It's too late, but I'm going to have to at least discuss this tomorrow evening or at some county board meeting. All right, thanks for your report. We'll move on to the detention center.
We're going to do the start the replacement of the exterior doors tomorrow. Company that received the bid was Scherer out of Burlington. They'll start ripping out the concrete approaches to the doors tomorrow. Hopefully with the weather, with the way it's going to be for the rest of the week, they'll get all the concrete approaches poured this week. And then the doors have been ordered. There's about a four-week lag time on that. Rather than repair the doors, they found it was cheaper just to replace all the doors. So we'll have all new exterior doors on the building. They're going to reuse all the hardware and just replace the doors.
Any questions? So did we have a number on this?
We had $105,000 in the budget, and the bid came in at $99,900 and some. So it was very close.
And that bid was for replacement?
Replacement and the concrete approaches.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Not on that. Then I just have the valves at the detention center. We open the bids for the valves tomorrow. Hopefully the bids will be favorable. A week ago on Saturday, we had a water main leak break at the job center. So we had to dig up an area of the parking lot and put a temporary patch on the main for the building. And what we're hoping is that if the bids come in favorable enough, we'll be able to maybe reprogram some of that money to replace the rotten main at job center. This is the second time it's broken in about 3 years. We'll know tomorrow.
Yeah. Any questions?
I just want to bring up a thing before we get to the next part of the meeting where we're going to go next door. And just back to the bike trails for a moment. Do we maintain those in the wintertime, to any extent, as far as plowing snow off them, or is there any type of thing that's done with that?
I think, you know, to be honest with you, without John here, I'm hesitant to say with 100% certainty, but I'm pretty certain that we maintain plowing at least on the main bike trail. That is plowed.
Second question is, we know that they have a certain life expectancy, like any asphalt surface. They're made out of asphalt. Would we include in a future CIP, or is it already in there, any type of maintenance in terms of crack sealing, which is under the asphalt surfaces, and or seal coating?
Yeah, my perception is that if we, you know, they say the general life of those things is somewhere between 15 and 20 years.
Okay.
It's going to be closer to 20 years, and you probably get north of 20 years if you do the crack sealing and crack sealing mainly, you keep up with that.
So CIPs go out how far?
Our CIPs are 5 years, but that maintenance typically wouldn't be included in the CIP because I believe you can't bond for what's considered maintenance type of activities. But yeah, the onus is on us to do the maintenance going forward.
And that's my point. I'd like to see these things included on the front side rather than have something that's all broken down and say, oh, we should have, could have, might have, wouldn't have been good to, so I don't know, whatever it takes from a departmental standpoint, let's have that notated. The new construction projects would have the appropriate maintenance done.
On a bike trail or a golf path, you won't have as much need for crack sealing.
Right.
Because you don't have joints.
Right.
We have the new paving machine. It's a single lane. So where you see all the crack sealing on any highway is where the two lanes
meet.
And that's where all the moisture and that's where everything is. So, and naturally on a bike trail and a and we won't have the weight.
Right.
So we shouldn't have near the maintenance. Usually, actually, you figure like 12 to 15 on a highway, 12 years. But I would think on a bike trail, much longer.
That's why we're figuring on the bike trail of 15 to 20.
Yeah. Because there's no seams.
No seams, like you say, the weight, as long as you have a decent space underneath there where you don't have really crappy soils and that, it should be pretty, you know, you should get close to the 20 years without a whole lot of maintenance. But point still well taken.
Assuming you have a good base to start with.
Right, a good solid base, that's always the key. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions? We'll move on to number 9, new business. Tour.
The tour of the lower level, or the garden level, or the courthouse, as it's referred to.
And I think we'll probably adjourn. We'll probably adjourn from down there.
Well, we refer to it as the garden level because the corporation cost is a little less than thrilled about moving down there. But when we call it the garden level, it makes it sound so much nicer.